Hey everyone, what is going on? We are back again for another half review, since we wanted to spread this out. We'll skip the introductions this time, as we're pretty much filming this minutes after we finished the Spider-Man review. So Tyler.
Yes.
You got us advanced screening tickets to see a movie,
mm-hmm.
not from Marvel,
mm-hmm.
but from DC Comics,
mm-hmm.
called Fishman.
Yes.
Yes. So, can you tell us a little bit about Fishman, or Aquaman as he's called in America and probably everywhere else?
What would you like me to tell you?
Well, I think we would like to discuss it. Maybe some people might be interested in hearing what we have to say, since this will go up before the movie technically comes out.
You want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You know what? You go ahead. You take the reins on this one. Because I'm actually caught, you know, you might like what some things I have to say, but go ahead, Tyler.
See, normally, whenever we go see a DC movie, I've already kind of resigned to being the guy that's trying to stand up for it while you, like, crap all over it.
Well, Merry Christmas, Tyler, because guess what? Go ahead.
And so I'm kind of like, I'm nervous to go first because I'm scared that you're just going to turn around and be like, this was garbage. But the way you're responding to me right now gives me hope that maybe you enjoyed this one.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
So, Aquaman was not at all like he was in Justice League.
He never once
first
said,
and foremost.
Amen!
And I think it tried to separate itself almost completely, aside from in Justice League, there was a heavy emphasis on, there's like, he has kind of this like heavy metal riff that plays a lot whenever he's in Justice League. And they've mostly done away with all that. They've kind of taken away his, like, metalhead kind of persona from Justice League. They have left a little, like, guitar riff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, it's not even, like, a full section, but it's just, like, a, like, da-da-da. Like, every once in a while, whenever he does something. Not, like, overused, but, you know, it's there, like, a two or three times in the movie. And I think that's kind of become like one of the defining factors of the DC universe right now.
Right.
And especially the good ones, because it was the same with Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, I mean, you don't think of Wonder Woman as like someone who listens to like metal or like heavy rock and roll. But she had that riff,
mm-hmm.
In her theme. She had that like crunching electric guitar riff in her theme that would play for like during like prominent heroic moments and things like that. And I feel like that like guitar, that like kind of heavy guitar riff has become like a defining factor for some of the DC heroes. And I kind of dig it. It kind of sets it apart a little bit. Kind of, you know, this is like our thing trying to like differentiate itself, is the kind of the musical stylings a little bit. And I'm on board with that. But getting to the actual movie, this was, so I'm not going to review this as kindly as Spider-Man. If you saw our Into the Spider-Verse review before this, Into the Spider-Verse is maybe one of my new favorite movies altogether, and probably and easily my favorite Spider-Man movie. But that's neither here nor there right now. Aquaman, I would say, is probably, not my favorite DC movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That honor still goes to Christopher Nolan's Batman. But it's easily my favorite of the DC universe right now. Not easily, maybe that's a stretch. I think I liked Wonder Woman an awful lot. I think for me, the spectacle of Aquaman edged it out for me a little bit. I think Wonder Woman was a really solid movie, and I liked it a lot. I think there's a scene where they like make love in Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
that never sat right with me. It felt kind of like shoehorned in there, like they wanted to have like a love scene.
So dark.
That didn't really feel like it should happen. It didn't even feel like appropriate at the time necessarily. It was just like, well, this is the time where we make love because the script dictates it, you know? And then I feel like I thought it was a good message. I think it's got a really good resonant message, especially in these times. But I felt, again, like it was a little bit heavy-handed. It kind of went like, kind of like Zootopia did, where it was like, you know, we want to really push this message, but also have like an entertaining movie. I feel like Aquaman struck a good balance of having a message without like shoving it in your face as much as Wonder Woman did, I guess. Aquaman also suffered a little bit more in its dialogue, where Wonder Woman, I felt like, was generally pretty solid in the way the script was written. Aquaman had some like clunky dialogue, and some of it I think was just the actors, especially like the young Aquaman. Like when Arthur is like a teenager, there were a few lines where I was like, "That's
that won't work."
Yeah, he either didn't say it right or he just wasn't a great actor. But there were a few little bits where I was like, the dialogue or the acting here one just isn't quite working for me. But the story itself, I felt like, was pretty good. I'm trying to think of the other like negatives. So like the clunky dialogue sometimes didn't work for me. It wasn't like, you know, a lot. But there were moments where it kind of pulled me out a little bit, like maybe two or three times where I was like, this isn't quite working for me here. The music was pretty good.
The music was actually really good.
Yeah, it wasn't like Into the Spider-Verse good, but it was like it was a solid soundtrack to go with the movie this time around, which I can't say for a lot of their movies. Like Batman vs. Superman and Justice League and stuff, the soundtracks on those are just so forgettable. And Suicide Squad tried really hard to have like a cool, like modern soundtrack. It was playing really hard on like the Guardians of the Galaxy thing. But in Guardians of the Galaxy, it worked really well because it resonated with the character and they made it an integral part of the plot. And in Suicide Squad, it just felt like, well, in Guardians of the Galaxy, they had a bunch of like 80s songs and cool artists and it worked. And so they tried to do the same thing in Suicide Squad and it felt like they were just doing it to try to be Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work for me. Like, not that the music is bad. There are a couple songs from the Suicide Squad soundtrack that I like, but it, you know, I didn't like it within the context of Suicide Squad, I guess. But I felt like Aquaman had a good soundtrack. The directing was just impeccable. I mean, James Wan is a talented director, and I love what he's been doing with horror films like The Conjuring and stuff like that. I think he's made leaps and bounds and kind of like refreshing the horror genre for like modern audiences. But this, I would say this is probably one of his best movies. Like,
I would say it's up there.
The action scenes work so well. He's got such a good balance of like moving the scenes but also slowing them down when he needs to, and the way he like the you know the camera spins and flips and moves, like the way that he, I know he obviously didn't do the choreography itself, but the way he directed the action as well as just like the slower scenes was just incredible. It was like a super solid directing job. Probably one of my favorite of James Wan's movies, at least.
Okay.
And that's coming, I mean, I loved like The Conjuring and not the first Annabelle, but the second Annabelle movie, stuff like that. Some of the things he's been doing for horror, I love. But I'd say this is probably one of his best films that I've seen. What else? Jason Momoa is great. He had a couple like weird stilted lines too, but Jason Momoa is just an amazing Aquaman. He was so good. And it was kind of a surprising like ensemble cast. There were some people there I wasn't expecting, like Patrick Wilson, Willem Dafoe, Nicole Kidman, and again, I'm blanking on the one character. Who plays his dad? Who plays Arthur's dad?
Oh, that's fine. I know who you're talking about. I, too, cannot pinpoint it, so keep talking while I look it up.
I recognized him, and I've always liked him. He's always been pretty good, but he was just really good in this movie. He's playing he's a little bit more subdued, and he played kind of like this, just kind of a dad role, and it was so good. I loved not just Jason Momoa as Arthur, or as Aquaman, but I loved, like, the actors they got for his family. I loved kind of the ensemble for, like, the fish people and stuff like that. Like, it was just so good. The casting in this was just really solid. I also really liked that it didn't focus too hard on just being a superhero movie. I feel like this was kind of the movie that DC really needed right now, because this one focused less on him being...
Oh, I found it. T-E-M-U-E-R-A.
Okay.
Morrison.
Tamara Morrison.
He was the father.
Anyway, he was really good too. But one thing I really liked about this was that it didn't focus too hard on just being like, you know, it's Aquaman, let's make him Aquaman all the time. It was, I got vibes of like, almost like Indiana Jones.
Yes.
It felt more like a action adventure than it felt like a superhero movie. It kind of pulled back. It didn't go full on, you know, like, let's make him be Aquaman and just give him a bunch of fight scenes and stuff like that for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There was just as much time spent with them, like, solving puzzles and globetrotting and, like, trying to find this like, mystical trident and stuff like that. And it went, like, full-on, like, Indiana Jones serialized adventure.
Yes.
And I loved that. That was the coolest thing, to see this, like, giant jacked-up dude, like, springing out of the water, but then like wandering around with these like codes and pieces of a puzzle in like Italy, trying to find out like what the next piece of the puzzle is. And you know, then like in like the Sahara Desert and stuff like that. And I thought that was super cool, because it didn't it focused just as much on the things that he didn't excel at as the things that he does excel at. And I thought that that was like, it was a really good balance of like making him Aquaman, but also showing that he's like just kind of a dude, you know, trying to figure things out and figure out his place among like people and also Atlantis. And I thought that, like, I thought it struck a really good balance. I thought it was just a really solid experience overall. I liked the Aquaman part of it. I liked the kind of like adventure, like, Indiana Jones National Treasure style of it. And I thought the acting was just really good.
Is it my turn?
One more thing.
that's why I always ask. So go ahead.
This movie was such, like, it's so worth seeing on the big screen. If you get the chance,
yes.
This, I mean, obviously Into the Spider-Verse 2, if you've seen that review, I didn't mention it. That movie is really worth seeing, like, on the big screen if you can. But Aquaman is such, like, a spectacle film. If you get the opportunity to watch it in theaters, that's definitely the best way to watch this movie. It's full of, like... And, I mean, I guess part of it kind of fits in with that Indiana Jones flair that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so full of, like, just giant set pieces and beautiful locations. You know, it's got... It strikes a really good balance, where it's like it lingers just long enough on these like massive like underwater waterfalls, or you know, like panning over the Sahara Desert, or you know, whatever the case may be, without feeling like a little bit long in the tooth, kind of like Lord of the Rings got sometimes. And don't get me wrong, the Lord of the Rings are, you know, some of the best fantasy movies ever made. But there are some lingering shots of just like the Misty Mountains and things in there that just kind of go on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Aquaman does a really good job of like lingering just long enough on these shots to give you a feeling of like, wow. And then it like immediately moves on. It's like it gives you just enough eye candy to like really appreciate how beautiful this movie is before pushing forward and being like, okay, we're not going to linger on it too long. We need to get back to the action. But if you get the chance to see it in theaters, that's definitely the best way to see this movie. It was gorgeous. I loved just the look of the film. Okay, now
yeah,
you can
imagine. Go ahead. All right, so Tyler, you hit a lot on the points I was going to talk about, so I'm not going to repeat them. Just straight up, that you may actually get a kick out of this set, I really, really enjoyed this movie. I am
so happy to hear you say that.
Now, again, it wasn't that as false that I'm going to talk about, but Which really, I only had two faults with this movie.
I've got another thing. Can I interrupt
you? Yes, you can interrupt. Go for it.
Okay.
I'm going home.
One of the villains was like kind of super generic. Kind of the primary villain.
Ocean Master.
Yeah, Ocean Master. He kind of like he's fine. He's serviceable. He's he serves as a plot point to move the story forward, and he's fine. He's good. You know, it's whatever. But he's not great. What was super goofy and I loved was the secondary villain in this movie was Black Manta. And it was just, it was so crazy. At one point I turned to Mike and I whispered to him, I'm like, this doesn't even feel like a DC Universe villain right now. This feels like a Power Rangers bad guy. Yes. Because he was so over the top. He had like the crazy like jacked up armor and he's like yelling these like one-liners, but through this like visor helmet, and he sounds like all messed up, almost like a bug, and he's like, "Call me Black Manta," before he starts like punching and kicking, and he's got like hidden blades popping out and stuff, and it was like so goofy and over the top, but it totally worked. I feel like, again, that's kind of credit to James Wan and his directing, that like even as like it felt kind of over the top and silly, but it didn't like pull me out of the movie. It was like super engaging. And there were a few moments like that. Like, there's a moment where, again, without spoiling anything, there's a moment, kind of a big, like, serious moment, but then it's broken up because you realize there's an octopus playing, like, battle drums and stuff like that. And in any other movie, that would be, like, laughably bad. But I felt like it fit in really well. It was just, like, as over the top and silly as it was, it didn't pull me out. It was, like, really engaging. It fit into this world that they had built. Without feeling like really campy or dumb, and I loved that as much as the main antagonist kind of just like served to move the story along and make Aquaman realize that he needed to like step up. There was some secondary stuff in here that was just like so over the top and goofy, and I loved it. Okay, back to you.
Thanks. No, so kind of going on what you're saying, I'm not going to talk too long since, again, you covered a lot of it. I really enjoyed this movie. I really did, from start to finish. Much kind of how I said in our Spider-Man review, how Tom Holland, to me, is Peter Parker. Jason Momoa, to me, really is Aquaman.
Yeah.
So, just kind of jumping into the two negatives that I had that you didn't mention. The first one, and this one's kind of a minor thing, and it could be just me and how I grew up and saw Aquaman between comic shows and other things, is that he really cared more about Atlantis, where he was, how he came up. Whereas in this movie, he was more like, I don't want to be the king, I'm happy living on the land, you know, he'll protect the ocean. And I was like, okay, that's kind of a flip, but that could also be just a reboot type of thing. And, you know, he obviously cared very much about Atlantis because he knew of his powers and his past and everything. Mm-hmm. But this one, he was kind of like, you know, no,
in this one,
happy to get on land.
The emphasis is very much about him, not his, like, origin story, so much as his character development from this, like, bastard son that's been exiled from the underwater to realizing that he actually is, like, the king of these people and needs to rule them. So he's been living on land mostly. Like, there's a clear vibe that he knows how to breathe underwater, and he's been, like, adventuring underwater, but he doesn't care about, like, the underwater people or, you know, visit them or anything. He spends his life on land with his dad, like, you know, chilling at the local bar and having fun, you know, not really caring about anything. But he's again, he's kind of like the rogue with a heart of gold. You see that he's kind of like taking out some pirates and stuff like that, you know. And he's already been dubbed like Aquaman by like the local news and stuff. But he doesn't really want to embrace that. And so this character arc is him like realizing that he has to become Aquaman and kind of revisit his roots, whether he wants to or not.
Very true, very true. And, you know, that to me was just a little bit more of a minor thing because of how it was paced and how it was done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had his coming of age, kind of like in Spider-Man, where it's like, okay, this is what I need to do. Let me go do it.
Yeah.
So that I thought was, it was a minor gripe because, you know, I grew up watching Justice League and I liked the Aquaman in that one. He's like, no, Atlantis, the surface world is your problem. Get me out of it.
Yeah. But this and I kind of dug that. Yeah. I actually kind of felt the opposite. I didn't see it as like a gripe. I saw it as almost like a positive, because they didn't give him like necessarily an origin story per se. They kind of, they show like, you know, his very beginnings, like when he's a baby. And then all of a sudden you see him as like an adult, like fighting pirates and being like Aquaman, you know, he's being dubbed Aquaman already. And I felt like this was a way to kind of give him an origin story without actually showing his origin story. You know, it doesn't necessarily show him becoming Aquaman because he's just born into this. He's already, you know, an Aquaman. But it gives him kind of like an origin story as to how he became the Aquaman without showing, you know, like him growing up and learning how to use his powers and stuff like that so much.
So I like that. The other thing that I personally didn't like, but I see why based on what that is, it's kind of interesting you mentioned, because I love the villain of Black Manta, but I don't like how he was kind of just there. You know, it started to explain, like, okay, maybe this will be the main villain, then he kind of goes away, figures out he's got to do some things, gets tossed aside, which, of course, he's still in, like, an early stage. Minor spoilers, but I'm pretty sure we all knew this. A sequel is coming eventually. I think we all kind of expected
that. As long
that.
As they keep on making money.
Yes,
and
pretty
as,
much.
As badly as a lot of the DC movies got reviewed, they still made a buttload of money.
Yes. So, that was one thing I didn't like, is how they treated the Black Manta, because that's one of the main Aquaman villains. And especially with DC trying to, you know, just straight up catch up to Marvel, you know, they have to use their main villains for a lot of these, you know, big individual movies just to kind of, you know, get people to stay relevant. Because at least if people, if, you know, knowing, say, Spider-Man, you know, again, people that know Spider or don't know Spider-Man know, oh, he's got to fight Green Goblin or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, at least in Homecoming when he fought Vulture. Again, big villain to us, but not a lot of people knew who Vulture was. So for this one, having Black Manta just kind of there, tossed around a little bit, will be back in the sequel. Hopefully in the
sequel. We can hope that he's back in a sequel that's just as good as this one, if not better.
Yeah, and I think that if they do the sequel, like, the Black Manta is going to be the main number one villain, the main threat, whatever you want to call it. And that I'll be fine with, but I just didn't like how he was kind of thrown around.
I was kind of hoping the opposite. I was hoping that Black Manta would be back in the sequel, but he would keep on popping up like in little bit parts and get beat up and like kicked off a cliff again or something. I was thinking, I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. But in my head, I thought it would be super hilarious if he kind of became like almost like a Team Rocket, where like he would show up for like a big goofy fight and be like, "I'll get you this time," and then he like gets, you know, like kicked out of the universe or something. But then in the next movie, he inevitably like comes back again and is like, "This time you're mine," and then, you know, gets like punched into the center of the earth or something like that. You know, it's like something bad happens to him every time, but he always comes back in the next movie. I thought that would be hilarious, and I know it's not going to happen, but in my head, it was like a best case scenario.
So I think for me, just to kind of wrap up the end of this for me, since you kind of touched on everything, is that with Black Manta, at least, if they do a sequel that's mostly if they do.
You said doo-doo.
I did say doo-doo. Oh my God. When they do the inevitable sequel, since I think this movie is going to do just fine
this
regardless.
This one, Wonder Woman obviously is already in the works. Wonder Woman's coming out, what, like next year? The sequel to it?
2020, I thought.
2020? Is it further out? Anyway, you know, Wonder Woman's obviously already in the works. And this one is doing well enough that I'm assuming it's going to get made. I know, like, the Justice League stuff is kind of in a weird limbo right now because, like, Ben Affleck is either... Is he officially out now?
I don't know. Him and Henry Cavill.
There's kind of a mess right now with Batman where, like, he's like, out of the DC universe, but they were also talking about making a standalone Ben Affleck Batman, and now they're talking about like still making it but with different people. But like that's all a mess. They're talking about like Henry Cavill not coming back, especially now that he's going to be Geralt. He's our Witcher now. Stuff like that. So it's like there's a lot of shakeups with kind of like the big boys on the block, I guess. But right now, as long as we get another Wonder Woman and we get another Aquaman, I am so satisfied. Those are their two heavy hitters right now.
And I think that, you know, we will get another Aquaman, and I really hope that they make Black Manta more of the focus. And if they do that, and they do it right.
You said it like three times.
I did. If they can finish that right, I think that that would make more sense as to why he was kind of tossed around still learning the powers in this one. And, you know, maybe he can have a team up, or like some people in Atlanta still are like, "God, I don't really know if I want King Arthur, you know, mm-hmm. have an ocean master, you know, something like that. So I think we'll be okay, yeah. honestly.
Oh, and also, I know the fanboys are all going nuts, and I know that this is a big deal to some people, but we're getting a new Joker movie, like a core, like,
yes.
Joker origin story starring Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin
Phoenix as the Joker, which I, for one, am totally behind. I'm not... It kind of bugs me whenever people, like, see a casting list or something like that, and they're immediately like, oh, well, this movie's going to suck because they got this person to be this guy, you know? And so it's like, yeah, I know he's very iconic, and I know that Heath Ledger kind of, like, set the standard for how the Joker should be now and stuff like that, but until he shows me that he can't handle it, I have no reason to think, oh, it's Joaquin Phoenix, it's going to suck, you know? I for one, I'm fine with it, at least for now. Until they show me that he can't handle it, I'm on board with a new Joker movie. Yeah.
No, so I think for me, just to kind of wrap it up, I'm going to do the scores. For Aquaman, I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. I thought it was very enjoyable. I really enjoyed the style of it. Jason Momoa, I thought, was great. He was he is going to be Aquaman for me. That's how I'm going to remember him.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely we're seeing in theaters. I thought it was done very well. And I think DC is on the up and up. Obviously, Wonder Woman was very good. This movie was very good. We got Shazam in April, which I'm really looking forward to that one. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the same. I think I'm going to go an 8.
Okay.
It's
about as close as we ever got on a DC movie.
Yeah.
So,
but no, so I, but this is a pretty good consensus.
Yeah, I say so.
For both of those, it's been a great weekend
so
for
far,
superhero movies.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, definitely, again, we're seeing, Tyler, you pretty much touched on everything that I was going to say/not say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put out my couple points, and just looking forward to seeing Aquaman 2 whenever that comes out, the next DC, obviously, well, Shazam. I will say I'm looking more forward to Shazam than the Joker movie, or, you know, a little more looking forward to this.
I mean, I'm so stoked for Shazam.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's all I've got. Tell us if you got any last minute you need to say.
I don't think so.
All right,
so I think that's good.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for watching this one. I hope you enjoyed both Spider-Man and Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
See ya.
See you later.